Today's daf is Rabbi Basra daf Kuf Lamed Ches. Today's shir is sponsored by Josh and Karen Englard in memory of Josh's grandmother Bina Bas Yehuda Ber Aleha Shalom, the Neshama Shrav and Aliyah. And we thank Josh and Karen very much for the sponsorship. Today we're learning daf Kuf Lamed Ches of Maseches Rabbi Basra, and we left off on the bottom of Kuf Lamed Zayin and Beis about four lines on the bottom at Omer Rav Yehuda Omer Shmuel. The Gemara is going to talk about what if somebody refuses a matana. You try to give a matana and then the person says, I'm not interested. Is the person karna the matana bal karcho? Is he karna against his will? So that's not really much of a shaila, but what happens if initially he accepts and then later he says, no, I never really wanted it, or later on he refuses? At what point do we say that the kinyan already happened and it's too late for him to refuse a matana? Then the Gemara is going to talk about if a shchiv meira gives varying amounts of money to different people, which of the people is kona first? He says, I want this guy to get 100, that guy to get 200, that guy to get 300. Is that in order? Or because if there aren't sufficient funds to cover all of that, so do we divide it up based on, the third guy will get three times as much as the first guy, and the second guy twice as much as the first guy, but we divide it up based on what he has and based on the proportionally based on what he said? Or do we know, give the first guy first, second guy second, and if there's nothing left for the third guy, then there's nothing left for the third guy? And the same would have a ramification as far as a balchov is concerned. If he owes somebody money, who does that balchov collect from? Evenly from all of them, or does he only collect from the last guy? Then the Gemara is going to have three different cases where a shchiv meira promises to give an amount of money, but it turns out he owes that money to that person anyway. For example, he says, I want 200 zuz to go to my wife, He owes her a ksuba anyway. Of course he wants 200 zuz to go to his wife. Does he mean to say ksuba plus 200 zuz? Or does he mean to say, no, these 200 zuz should go and pay for a ksuba? So we're going to have three such similar cases where a person says he's giving something that is that the person is entitled to anyway. And then at the end of the daf, in the middle of the page, in Kuflam Chesam Beis, the Gemara is going to discuss if a shchiv meira says that someone owes him money, are you allowed to just write a shtar based on his word that somebody owes him money? Or do you have to know for sure that the person actually owes him money before you write a shtar? And we're going to compare that, or try to compare it, to the issue of whether Bezin can do a chalitza if they can't identify, if they don't know, they don't personally recognize the people involved. So the woman says, I need a chalitza, this is my husband's brother. I don't know if that's her husband's brother. I don't even know if she ever had a husband. I don't know who these people are. Can we do a chalitza for them when they say that they need a chalitza? So we're going to relate that, or try to relate it, to the issue of writing a shtar when we don't know if in fact somebody owes this person the money. So let's begin four lines from the bottom of the page. Kuf lam zayinim beis. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Hakosim nechasav liacher. Va'amar halah. Someone writes over his nechasim to somebody else, and the guy says, I'm not interested in them. I don't want these nechasim. So, kona, the halach is, it doesn't matter. You're kona anyway. Va'afilu amad v'tzavach. And even if he sits there screaming, I don't want to be kona these items, it doesn't matter. He's kona them anyway. Rabbi Yochanan amar lo kona. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, you can't be kona bal karcho. A person's not going to be kona something that he has no interest in being kona. So the first sheet of Rabbi Yochanan Shmuel is very difficult to understand. So the Gemara explains, not so difficult. Amr Rabbi Abba bar Mamal v'lo pligi. They're not even arguing. They're talking about very different cases. Kan b'tzavach meyikara. Kan b'shosik meyikara l'besof tzavach. If he was screaming from the very beginning, then of course he's not kona. Then of course Rabbi Yochanan is correct. You try to give him matana, I don't want it, I don't want it, I don't want it, it does not become his matana. But if he's shosik meyikara and he's l'besof tzavach, if initially he didn't say anything, and then later on he says, I didn't really want it. So that's not enough to take away a kinyan that already happened. If you look at the top Rashbam, Kan b'tzavach meikarim itchilu k'shemasar lo ze es hashtar hischil tzavach. He right away started screaming when you tried to give him the shtar. Hilkach lo kana shein mizakn lo dan bal krocho duchavu lo dichsiv soni matanos yichya. It's not considered, so even if you're being mizak al yidei acher, it's considered a chov for him. You can't be zachin for him when he's not interested. And how in the world could it possibly be a chov? I'm giving him something that has value. you. What are they? So you might say, okay, he's not interested. I'm giving him, you know, a very nice, expensive, rare breed dog. So maybe he's not interested. He just doesn't want a dog. Maybe he's just not interested in that. So okay, I could hear that. But you're giving him cash. Who doesn't want cash? Who doesn't want? It's just money. Everyone uses it. So why? How could it possibly be that it's not a zechus for him? So Rashbam says, sure, it could be. Soni matanos yechya. People don't want to take money from other people. They don't want to take anything from other people. K'damrin be'elu treifus v'anosin atzmo. And the guy himself, who was the giver of the gift, lo yachsolo, the money doesn't go back to him either. Shari silik atzma mem, because he has removed himself from that money. Ella hefkerheim. What happens to this money? It becomes hefker. V'kalamaksik ben zachben, and therefore whoever wants it can take it. K'damrin b'krisus b'tchilus parakamei v'yashem taloi amrei shlakish hanos matalo l'chaver v'amar Allah i'efshi kalamaksik ba zachba v'askin rasam krei shlakish. That's what the Gemara says in Maseches Krisos, that if a person tries to give a matana to somebody else, the other person refuses, the makabel refuses to be makabel, and it doesn't make a difference, meaning the makabel can't be forced to take it, but the nosein is not the owner of it anymore, because sone matanos yichya. So a couple of important chidushim over here. First of all, what are we talking about over here? Who's giving this gift? Is this, we've been discussing a lot, and we will continue to discuss, about a shchiv mera. Is this dafka about a shchiv mera, or is this about a bari as well? So the Rif writes that haidina b'shchiv mera hu, didivre shchiv mera kiksuvna kumsurin dami. This din is about a shchiv mera, because by a shchiv mera, even with words alone, normally that's enough to make a kinyan. V'kivan shashasa k'misha nimsru lo dami. So when the shchiv mera says, I'm giving this money to Reuven, and Reuven doesn't say anything, a kinyan has already happened, because that's the way divrei shchiv mera work. Avol matnas bari lo kani adamati shor liyadei. But by a matnas bari, he's only going to be kona when he actually gets it in his hand. And that's what the Rush writes as well, and the Torah as well. And the Torah writes that by matnas bari, when the makabel makes a macha and he's not zocha, the matana does not actually leave the roshos hanosein. But by matnas shchiv mera, then it's kiksuvnu kumsurin dami, and when he gives it to him and he shows like he's zocha, and when he later says ef shiba, so what happens when he later says ef shiba? He was already makabel. He's already, that is his way of making it hefker when he says ef shiba. So it will become hefker, and whoever wants could take the metaltalin. But by karka, it's loyer to mitachas yado. It stays his. That's how the Torah writes. But anyway, so the Rif says that this entire din is dafka by a shchiv mera, but by matnas bari, then you need an actual kinyan. So the Rav just asks on the Rif that he's mechalik to matnas shchiv mera, matnas bari. Who said that you have to make such a chilik? It could be that Shmuel is talking about a matnas bari where you sent him a shtar matana and you gave him a shtar matana. You threw it in l'tochiko. You threw it into his pocket, into his lap, and he says, "No, I don't want to be zoch in the shtar." So if he's tzavach right away, he's not kona, even though there was a shtar. Meaning the Rif assumed that there's no shtar over here. So if there's no shtar over here, it's got to be talking about a shchiv mera. Says the Ravid, who said there's no shtar? Maybe there is a shtar. It's talking about a bari and there is a shtar. Meaning, it could be a shchiv mera and the way he makes a kinyan is with words. It could be a bari and the way he makes a kinyan is with a shtar. Each one, lefi darko, each one, based on the way that they make a kinyan. The Shittim Betzes defends the Rif, and he says, what must have bothered the Rif is that if there was a shtar that actually got into his hand, then obviously the macha of the makabel is not going to work. And if the makabel was mocha before the shtar got into his hand, how did the shtar ever get into his hand? He would have put his hands behind his back and said, I'm not interested, I will not take it. So that's why the Rif said it has to be talking about where there's no shtar, because just practically it's hard to imagine that you're going to end up with a shtar in your hand that you didn't want me'ikara. If you really didn't want it me'ikara, how did it end up in your hand? So that's point number one. Second point over here, the Rashbam had said that we read that when a person is tzavach, he says right away, I don't want it, he's not kona the matana, because ein mezak nadam bal korcho. A person, you cannot be mezaka to a person bal korcho, you can't force a person into a kinyan if he doesn't want it. In Bircha Shmuel, he has a suffix. When the nosein is mezaka to the makabel through a third party, through somebody else. So you say, do me a favor, make a kinyan on behalf of Ploni, and the third party party is doing the Maisa Kinyan, and the Makabel is Tzavach, the Makabel cries out that he doesn't want the Matana, is the Macha of the Makabel Megala that Matana is a Chov for him, and Ein Chav Adam Shlom Daito, so this person is not authorized to make the Kinyan for him, and therefore that Macha is going to be Mevatel, the ability of that third party to make the Kinyan for him? Or do we say, no, the reason it doesn't work, the reason the kinyan doesn't work, is because through his macha'a, no one else can be zocha for him, because yado shel adam is only zocha when it's not bal karcho. Yado shel adam is not going to be zocha for a person bal karcho. Even though yad a third party can be considered yado, it's not going to work bal karcho. What's enough kamina whether you say that the macha'a makes it, that it's a chov for me, and therefore you can't be makna or whether it's no longer my yad, it's only my yad when I'm interested. When I'm not interested, it's not my yad. So simple nafkamina, says Birch Shmuel. Nafkamina, if you do this for a shichur eved, you're mezaka the get shichur to be meshachra this eved al yedei acherim, al yedei a third party on behalf of the eved. And the eved is screaming, no, I don't want to go, I want to stay here, I enjoy it here, I want to stay living with this master. Does that macha help? If you say that the whole kunz of the macha is that it's a giloy das, that it's a chov, and in chov and shlomi daito, yeah, that's true by a normal matana, but by a get, you could be megarish an eved bal karcho. You don't need his will in order to be megarish the eved. So the shichur eved is still going to work, but if you say, no, that's a din in yad, that he only becomes my yad when it's nichali, when I'm interested in him becoming my yad, so then the bottom line is, this person is not the Yad HaEved, and therefore he's not going to be able to be Kona for the Eved. It has nothing to do with whether it's a Zuchus or a Chov for the Eved. It's just about an issue of whether this person can be the Yad of the Eved, and he would then wouldn't be able to be the Yad of the Eved. So that would, L'chora, be the Nafkamina. Now, on the other point that the Rashbam said, which is also a very fascinating point, this idea that, okay, I wanted to give you this Matana, you were screaming the whole time you didn't want it. So I would think, so now I'll take it back because it's going to be mine because you didn't want it. I wasn't just giving it to anybody, I was giving it to you. So if you didn't want it, then it's going to be mine. But the Rashbam said, no, it becomes Hefker and Kolakodembo Zacha. Anyone who wants it can take it. The Ramban asks for that the Gemara Nedarim on Daf Mem Gimel says that a Matana is not Yotzei Mirashus HaNosein Ad SheZocha Ba'Acher, that a Matana typically doesn't leave the Rashus of the person giving the Matana until someone else has it. So why is the Rashbam assuming over here not that way? The Rashbam is assuming I've been misalik. I have nothing to do with it anymore. It's difficult to understand this Rashbam, but the Yad Rama adds that the reason that the Matana is not closer to the Nosein is because the Das HaNosein was to be makna the Matana in a way that it's not coming back. So that Das is still going to be fulfilled. It's not coming back. It's therefore going to be Hefker. The Maram Shik writes that Rashbam was only by a Matana. This Chiddush of the Rashbam is Dafka by a Matana. We would never say such a thing by Mecha Chumemker. If the Kona says that he doesn't want to receive a delivery of the item that this guy is trying to sell to him, so we don't say, okay, now it's Hefker, because I wanted it to be marketed to you, not Stam because I want to get rid of it, because I wanted to make a deal with you. I wanted to make a business deal with you. I wanted you to buy it from me. But if in the absence of you buying it from me, I'll find someone else who'll be willing to buy it from me. So therefore, I'm not just Stam getting rid of it. The Tosfos Rid points out that only if it leaves the Rishus HaNosein do we consider it Hefker. But if the Matan is still in the Rishus HaNosein when the Mekabel is Tzovech, then you can't say that he's already been Misalik from it. But anyway, the Adrama disagrees with the entire premise of the Rashbam, and he says that the Matan is Chozer to the Nosein or to the Yarshav. Very, very difficult to understand how that Rashbam could possibly be true, that the mamish becomes hefker because the guy, the mekabel was tzavach. Okay, but that's how we explain that there was no machlokas over here between Rav Yehuda Shmuel on the one hand and Rav Yochanan on the other hand. A mekabel matana cannot be forced to make the kinyan, but once the kinyan already happened, it happens. So then the kinyan is already over. Says the Gemara two lines from the top. Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak zikalo al yedei acher vishasak. If let's say you are mezaka to a person, you're makna something to a person through a third party, and the Mekabel sees that happening and he doesn't say anything. So Reuven is trying to be makna something to Shimon, but he does it by asking Levi to make the kinyan on behalf of Shimon. Shimon is watching this as Levi is making the kinyan on his behalf, and Shimon doesn't say anything. And then later, Shimon starts screaming he doesn't want it. So Banu Machlokas, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Rabbanan. That is in fact Machlokas between Rabbi Shimon Gamliel and the Rabbanan. How so? Titania, we have a brace as follows. Hakosiv nechasiv liacher, v'hayu behen avadim. A person writes that his nechasim now belong to somebody else, and amongst those nechasim there were avadim. V'amar hala ef shibehen. A guy says, I don't believe in slavery, or I don't want it, I don't want to have the responsibility of having to feed these slaves. Not interested in the slaves. Imhaya rabban sheni kohen, hare elu ochlim b'truma. If the second master, the person that they're trying to give it to, the person, the recipient of the matana, is a Kohen, those slaves belong to a Kohen, and they're able to eat Truma. Meaning, you're Kone, whether you like it or not, you're Kone of those slaves. He says, no, once the guy says, I don't want them, so then it remains in the possession of the first person, of the Nosei Namatana, and it goes to his Yarshim when he dies, but no one else is going to get them. How do we explain the Tanakama? The guy is screaming, I'm not interested in the Matana, and we're going to say, too bad, you're stuck with it. It's your Matana, whether you like it or not. Hard to imagine. So Amarav Vitem Rav Yochanan, Bitsavach Meikaro, Dekuliam Lo Pligid Lo Kani. Now, if he was screaming right at the outset, then of course he's not going to be Kone. You can't be Makna something to somebody, Bal Karcho. You can't give him a gift, Bal Karcho. That everyone would agree to. Shasak Ulubisov Tsavach, if he was quiet and he let it happen, and then afterwards, you know, a week later, he comes back and he says, I never really wanted this, I don't want it. Too late. Everyone would agree that he's already been koneh. Ki pligi, the whole machlokas is, shazika lo al yidei acher, there's a third party here. So you're mezakeh through that third party, v'shasak, and he watched you be mezakeh to him through that third party. He saw the whole thing happened. And he didn't say anything. And then ultimately, when it came time to deliver the shtar to him, when it came time to put it in his hands, he said, no, I'm not interested. Well, where was your lack of interest when it went into the hands of that third party? No, he didn't say anything at that point. But now, when it's finally being delivered to him, I'm not taking it. The Tanakama says, you were quiet when it was being given to that third party. That right there was your kinyan. Now you're screaming, you don't want it, you're trying to be chozer on your kinyan. You can't do that. The kinyan already happened. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Savar, Hochiach Sofo Al Tchilaso. No, he didn't say that he wants it at the beginning. He was just quiet. Now we know what that quiet meant. We had to interpret that quiet. So that was not a haskama, that was not a shtika koda. We now know that he didn't really want it. Why didn't you scream right away when we were giving to the third party? If they hadn't yet delivered it to me, what would I scream about? There was nothing to scream about yet until they tried to actually give it to me. Third party, I don't know who that third party is. They can play whatever game they want until it actually comes into my possession. I have nothing to talk about. A couple of Rashbams that are interesting. Rashbam writes that if there's avadim, the Bryce says that if there's avadim amongst the items that he tried to give him, that's why he was tzoveach. Because he's not interested in the responsibility of feeding the avadim. The Rashbam is trying to figure out who would turn down avadim. Why would you turn down avadim? Oh, because you don't want the responsibility of feeding them. But it's machlokas whether you even have the responsibility of feeding them. It could be that you're allowed to say to the avadim, "Asei mi, you have to work for me, ve'ini zancha, and I'm not supporting you." So what's the downside? downside in taking an eved? Well, the downside is then you're a really bad person. No one wants to do that. No one wants to have an eved that he has to make such a deal. That's perfectly reasonable to not be interested to do such a thing. He's not going to feel like a nice person if he does such a thing. Then we had said, but the other opinion was that the Yorshin are the ones that are Zocha if the fellow was Tzaveach. So who are the, why the Yorshin? Says Rashbam, Kolomar Rishon O Yorshin Shlo. It doesn't dafka mean his Yorshin. We're not killing the guy. It means the Nosein or the Yorshin if the Nosein is no longer alive. Why would the Rishon get it back? The Rashbam just said earlier on the page that it becomes hefker, that if the Nosein tries to give it and the Mekabel is not receiving it, it becomes hefker. So why would it go to the Rishon or the Yarshim of the Rishon? So says Rashbam, you have to say this is a machlokas, that this goes against that Gemara in Krisus that his earlier comment was based on. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel obviously holds that that he's only giving it to him al das that he receives it. And if he doesn't receive it, if he doesn't take it, if he doesn't accept the delivery of it, then I still want it for myself.
But the halach is like Resh Lakish against Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Ubahach pluktanami hilchsa karabanan. Tahad the kaimel and halach Rabbi Shimon Gamliel b'mishna seinu. So here's a critical line. The Rashbam says, how can I paskin against Rabbi Shimon Gamliel? Don't we have a rule in Shas? Halach Rabbi Shimon Gamliel b'mishna seinu. He says, yeah, hainu mishna. That's when it's a mishna. Avol braisa lo. There's no such rule that we paskin against Rabbi Shimon Gamliel in a braisa.
The word Mishnah Seinu implies Mishnah. Mishnah when we say Mishnah, not Mishnah Seinu, the Mishnah means a Mishnah or a Braisa. So, for example, when we say Mishnah Reb Elazar ben Yaakov is Kavanaki, Mishnah Reb Elazar ben Yaakov Kavanaki means that we pass on like Reb Elazar ben Yaakov both in a Mishnah and a Braisa. So it's interesting, says the Rashbam. Sometimes we have rules about who to paskin like in a Mishnah, but you have to pay very careful attention because some of those rules mean only in Mishnayos, and some of those rules mean in Mishnayos and in Braisos. The idea of Mishnah Reb Elazar ben Yaakov Kavanaki, it means that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov's teachings, whether they be in a Mishnah or whether they be in a Braisa, are few and far between, and we accept whatever he says, lahalacha. We paskin like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. That's the opinion of the Rush and the Ran as well. Kesef Mishnah over writes that the Rambam seems to disagree. The klal that's mentioned in the Gemara, that the halacha is like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, the Rambam would assume Kesef Mishnah writes in Hilchos Beis HaBechir, Perek Beis Halacha Yud Ches, is only in Mishnayos as well. It's also not in prices. So the Mishnah Lamelech tries to be medayik what Shitas Rashi would be. Because he's medayik Mishnah Lamelech in the third parak of Hilchos Avadim, that Rashi writes in Devarim Parak Tzvav that ein manikim la'eved prados because they're not a bracha. They'd be, a feret is not going to be able to be molded. Is not able to have offspring. So you wouldn't give that as the hanukkah to the eved, as the gift to the eved. That's like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Even though it's a brisa that's quoted in the Gemara Kiddushin, Daf Yud Zayin. So they try to be medayik. Maybe Rashi holds that the halachas like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, even in brisa, not just in Mishnayos. So that's a discussion in the Rishonim whether that second half of the Rashbam is correct that the rule of Mishnas Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Kavanaki applies both to brisos and to Mishnayos. Both halves of the Rashbam are a significant discussion. The idea that of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is also a significant discussion in the Achronim. Okay, let's go further in the Gemara now. So that was the first sugya. Now, next topic. Tanu Rabbanan. Shchiv Rasha Amar. Shchiv Rasha says the following. Tanu Masayim Zuz Laploni. Ushalosh Meos Laploni. Varba Meos Laploni. I want $200 to go to Reuven, $300 to go to Shimon, and $400 to go to Levi. So what does that mean? Does that mean that I want my estate to be divided proportionally in this way? And if there's not enough money, just figure it out proportionally? Or does it mean, no, I first want to make sure Reuven gets his $200.
If that's covered, I then want to make sure Shimon gets his $300. And if that's covered, I then want to make sure Levi gets his $400. Ein omrim kol hakod mishtar zocha. We don't say that Reuven gets precedence over Shimon, who gets precedence over Levi. Lefichach yatzal lav shtar chov gova mikulam. And therefore, if there's a shtar chov that comes out, then they collect evenly from all of them. If you look at the Rashbam in the fourth medium-sized line, Tanu Rabban shchiv mera lahachi nakat shchiv mera. The reason we have to make this case about a shchiv mera as opposed to a bari is the b'didei yikul flugi ben hechod amarachar of luploni leichud lomer mishum d'roi lechali kol nuchas of b'dibor piv. Because only by Shchiv Mera are his words going to be the Kinyan. But by a Bari, he's doing a Maisa Kinyan. So whichever Maisa Kinyan he does first is the one that goes first. So by a Bari, it would be much easier to identify who is the first one. There's no chilik between if he uses the word the Acharav or not. So it says the Brisa Aval Amar, but if he were to say Tnuma Sayim Zuz Luploni, the Acharav Luploni, he adds that word, and afterwards let it go to Luploni, $300, the Acharav Luploni, and afterwards that $400 go to Luploni. Omer Kalakodim Shtar Zocha. Then we say whoever is first is first. Lefichach Yatzalav Shtarchov Gov Mina Achron. And therefore, if there happens to be a Shtarchov, that's going to be collected from the last guy because he's the last one that's entitled to collect anything. So the last one is the one that's going to get the Shtarchov. Ainlo, and if he doesn't have, if there's not enough in the last guy's gift, then Govam Yishalafanav, you collect from the previous guy. Ainlo, Govam Yishalafanav. And if even that is not sufficient, that does not have sufficient funds, you go to the original guy. The Yad Rama writes that even though Matna Shkivna, the Kinyan is Chal Achar Misa, so Lechora, one could argue, that, why is it that they get one after the other and that all the Shtar Chov gets collected from the last guy? If it only is going to be Chal Yachar Misa, L'chor, they're all chal simultaneously. I could say one of them today, one of them an hour from now, one of them tomorrow, and it's still all going to be chal simultaneously. They're kulam ke'achad. Nevertheless, says the Yad Rama, you go from the Achron, and then from the Sheni, and then from the Rishon, because the Nosein was makna to the Sheni only what's left over after the Rishon gets his full payment. Meaning it's true, it's chal all at the same time, but what's he being kona? I'm being makna to him only that which is left over once the other guy gets his full payment. So that's why it works in that order. Okay, so it says the Gemara further, Tan Rabbanan, Shchiv Mera Shamar Tnu Masayim Zuz Luploni, B'ni B'chor Karoi Lo. A new situation. A Shchiv Mera, we're going to have three different cases where a Shchiv Mera says, I want this money to go to so-and-so, but it turns out that so-and-so is entitled to the money anyway. He's anyway going to be receiving the money. So do I mean in addition to, or do I mean I'm being explicit about what he's already entitled to? So if he says, Tnu Masayim Zuz Luploni, B'ni B'chor, let my Ben Bechor get the 200 zuz like is ratwe to him. Notlon vinotelus Bechoraso. He gets 200 zuz on top of his chilek Bechora. So he gets both. Im Omar bivcharaso yada al eliona. But if he says bivcharaso, then the Bechor gets one or the other. If 200 zuz is a better deal for him, let him take the 200 zuz. If the chilek Bechora is a better deal for him, so good. So let him take the chilek Bechora, and that would be it. Rashba writes that even a father that says Tzuma Sayim Zuz Lebni Birushaso Yada Al Elyona, he takes either the 200 Zuz or the Chelik of Yerusha. It's Lav Dafka about the Bechor. The Torah says no, in that case he gets 200 Zuz. That only a Bechor you have this din that he gets the option of either the 200 Zuz or the Chelik Bechorah, because you can't be Mema'it in the Chelik Bechorah like the Rashbam says. But the Chelik Yerusha Sapashut, you could always be Mema'it, so the Pashut will only get the Masayim Zuz, because that's what the father was doing. He was being Ma'it in the Chelek HaPashut. So says the Gemara, second case now. Ushchiv Mera Shamar Tnu Masayim Zuz Leplonis Ishti Karo'ila. Give 200 Zuz to my wife, Karo'ila, like she's supposed to get. No Talton Vinotel Sesk Subasa. She gets Masayim Zuz
plus a ksuba. Im amar biksubasa, but if he says give it to her biksubasa, yada la liyona, then she gets the option of which one she wants. Ratza nataltan, ratza natalas ksubasa. If she wants, she could take that, or if she wants, she could take the ksuba. So that's what he's intending to do. He's intending to give her the options. The Rivash writes from this brisa that says Shchivna says to give masayim zuz liishti karayla, that she gets the masayim zuz and the ksuba. We see that a Shchivna that writes in his tzava'a that he's leaving money that his wife should be supported from his nechasim as long as she's an almana, chutz mi dmei ksubasa, the woman does not lose her mizonos when she asks for her ksuba in Beis Din. And it's not like what the Gemara says in ksubas in Dafan and Dalid, that Amar Avidom Shmuel, that once a woman is tovea ksuba in Beis Din, she loses her mizonos, because the kavana of the Shchivna was to give her mizonos as a matana in addition to what he normally owes her as mizonos. Meaning, it doesn't only have to be with the Messiah of a ksuba, it could be with the chiv of mizonos as well, that he's being mechayiv himself to give mizonos in addition to the normal chiv mizonos that he has to give her only until she actually has her ksuba, only until she's actually tovea her ksuba payment. And then we have a third case. Third case is as follows.
A person says, I want you to give 200 zuz to Ploni, who I owe money to. Karo'ilo, like it's ra'i to him, notam vin notal schavo.
He gets masayim zuz, plus he gets an additional masayim zuz for his actual chov that he owes him. So he collects twice. V'imamr b'chovo, notam b'chovo. But if he says b'chovo, then he only gets it as his chov. So you see that when you say karo'ilo, you're trying to give the person an additional gift. When you say bi, I'm giving it as the payment, then it's not an additional gift, it's only as the payment. What if you didn't say either? Rishonim raised a question. The Gemara in Ksuba says, in Sadi Vav in Ksuba, Amar Abai Kshisha, that a Shchivna that says, Tnuma Sayim Zuzal Ploni Balchovi, so Ratza Bechova Notan, Ratza Matan Notan. Over here it says that only when he says, Tnuma Sayim Zuzal Ploni Balchovi, Karo'ilo, that he gets to take both. So they suggest, the Rishonim all raise this issue, that it seems like a stira, that over there the Gemara is talking about the Shchiv Mira, that the Gemara over here is talking about where the Shchiv Mira says Karo'ilo, and the Gemara, I'm sorry, over there also it's talking about where it says Karo'ilo, the Gemara just isn't Mefarish. Or it could be that over there the Shchiv Mira said it Beferish, that you give it to the Balchov as a Matana. Anyway, so says Gemara, does the words Karo'ilo mean what we think they mean? Mishum Damar Karo'ilo Notam Venotel Schavo, because he said the words Karo'ilo, it means you get to collect twice. V'dilma karaylo bichov ka'amar. Maybe karaylo means as the chov, meaning that's why I use the words karaylo, because I was saying that this is what he anyway is entitled to. So maybe that's all I meant to say. It's interesting that we only ask this question when it comes to the balchov. L'chora, we should have asked this question about all three of them, about the Isha as well, and about the Bechor as well. So the Rimigash and the Adrama and the Rashba, the Ritva, they all say the Gemara is only asking this by the Balchov, not on the Bechor, not on the Ksubas Isha, because the Das of Eshchiv Mira is Krova Lebno Le'ishto, meaning clearly he feels very connected to his children and to his wife. So Minastam, he's having Kavana to give them more. So that's why the idea that Yadam El Elyona makes sense. But by a Balchov, why would he want to give extra money to his balchov? That seems very odd. So it's more likely when he says karo'ilo by a balchov that he means what I actually owe him. But why would I want to take away Yerusha from my children to instead give extra money to this balchov? However, the Rashba and the Ritva quote others who say that the Gemara's Kasha is on all three cases. The Gemara's Kasha is not only about the Balchov, it's about the Bechor and the Isha as well. And the Rashba explains that the Balchov just happens to be mentioned last, so that's why we use the language of Balchov when we ask this question, because he happens to be mentioned last. The Ritva explains that we just pick one out of the three, meaning, you know, Lav Dafka, the last one, we pick one out of the three, but it's really going on all of them. So says the Gemara, Amr Rav Nachman, Amr Li Hunah,
Hamani, Rabbi Akivi, he did daik lishna yaseira. You know why we assume that he intends to give something extra? Because we're following the sheet of Rabbi Akiva that whenever you use extra words, we assume that you're not wasting words and that there's something that must be meant by those extra words. That's the sheet of Rabbi Akiva. In what context does Rabbi Akiva say such a thing? So in the following, Ditnan, Veloas Habar, Veloas Hadus. You sell a bias, the bar and the dos are not included in the bias. Afal Pishakasavlo, Umka Varoma. Even if you say, I'm selling you the bias with its depth and its full height, the bar and the dos are not included. Good, so I didn't include the bar and dos, I'm keeping that for myself. How do I access that bar in the dus? Am I allowed to walk through the property that I just sold you in order to access my bar and my dus? V'tzarech likach lo derech div Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says, I am not permitted to trespass on that property if I want to access the bar and the dus that I left for myself, that the seller left for himself. He has to buy a derech, he has to buy the rights to be able to go through the property. And the Chum say, no, that's a little much. He doesn't have to buy the rights to get through by leaving out the bar and the dus from the mecher. He's also leaving out the derech to get to the bar and the dus. Umod Rabbi Akiva, but even Rabbi Akiva would agree that he doesn't have to buy a derech. Bizmansha Amarlo Chutz Me'elu, if he made explicit that he's selling the house except for the bar and the dus. Sheino Tzarech Likach Lo Derech. In such a case, he's not going to have to buy a derech. He'll be able to walk right through the property to access the bar and the dus. Alma Kivin Delo Tzarech V'Kamar L'Tvoya Milsakasi. So why does Rabbi Akiva say that? Why does he not have to buy the derech just because he said that Chutz Me'elu? Because he didn't have to say Chutz Me'elu. Anyway, the bar and the dus would have not been included. So he must be adding something else to exclude from the mechira when he says chutz me'elu. What else is he excluding from the mechira when he says chutz me'elu? He must be excluding the derech from the mechira, and that's why he doesn't have to purchase separately the derech to get to the bar and the dus. So that's Rabbi Akiva's shita, that you see, if he says any extra words, we have the right to darshan those extra words. Since it was unnecessary for him to say, and he did say, it must be that he was that it was Latfuya Milsa that he was coming to include something else. If you look at the Rashbam in Dibur Masul Shein Sarach, says Mir Rabbanan Nami Modu Dekolish Nisera Latfuya Asi Hechadi Ikamidu Latfuya. You know, even the Rabbanan would agree that if there's some reason that he if there's something else to add by and to, if there's some way to interpret his extra words as meaning something else, we would interpret it that way. And therefore, you know, it just happens to be that the case of the bar of the dus, the rabbanon hold that it's already included, it's already excluded anyway. The derech is already excluded from the sale, so there's nothing to darshan from the fact that he said chutz me'elu. But if there is something else that we could dream of to include in the words chutz me'elu or in any extra words that he uses, we would. And therefore, when we say we're following Rabbi Akiva, it's lav dafka. We know it doesn't really mean we're following Rabbi Akiva. The rabbanon would also agree. It's just that Rabbi Akiva is the one that says it more explicitly. Rabbi Akiva is the one that really spells it out, that that every single word should be darshaned. Period. Tan Rabbanan. Shchiv Mira Shamar Money Yeshli Etzel Ploni. What if a Shchiv Mira says, not, he doesn't start confessing who he owes money to, he starts saying who owes money to him. He says, Money Yeshli Etzel Ploni. So two Edom listen to the Shchiv Mira say that. Can they take that and run with it? Edom Kosov Naf Pishen Makirin. They can write it down even though they don't know, and they don't know if it's true. They could just write down, we heard that this guy said this. Leficheh Shugov Etzarech Lavi Raya Divra Meir. But therefore, if you want to collect with such a shtar, then you better, the Yerushim want to collect, they have to bring a raya that it's true. The Chum say it's irresponsible to write such a thing down. Unless they know all the parties, they cannot write such a thing down. So if there is such a shtar, then you know that it's legitimate and the Yerushim won't have to bring a raya. He says, I learned the exact opposite. The shitos were flipped. And the only reason Rav Meir says you're not allowed to write it down is because if you were to write it down without verifying, a later Beis Din might not know the rule that you're allowed to write down without verifying, and they're going to assume if it's written down that it must be that it was all checked out and is legitimate. We're not worried about a Beis Din Toen.
Cohen. People in Beis Din, they know what they're doing, so we're not choshesh that the Beis Din is making some sort of terrible mistake. Why are we not choshesh for Beis Din Tohen? Why is this any different than what Rava taught us in a different context? Dama Rava in Cholzin Eli im Kain Makirin, that you don't do a Beis Din cannot do chalitza for a person unless they know who the parties are. Ve'in memanin Eli im Kain Makirin, and you don't do miyun unless you know who the parties are. Lefichach kosvin get chalitza veget miyun ve'afal pi she'ein makirin. That's why you can write a get chalitza and a get miyun if you saw that a Beis Din did it, even though you the edim don't know who these people are, because the rule is that a Beis Din would never do it unless they knew who the people are. So mishum dechoshin le Beis Din tovin lo. So mishum dechoshin my taima. What's the reason for this? We'll read the parentheses. Lav mishum dechoshin le Beis Din tovin. Isn't it because we're choshesh for a Beis Din tovin that if Beis Din that's why we have to make sure that the first Beis Din has to be makir the people. Says Gemara lo. Beis Din Basar Beis Din Lo Daiki. A later Beis Din is going to accept what an earlier Beis Din said without doing too much research. But that doesn't mean that a later Beis Din is going to accept whatever Edim said without doing too much research. When it's just Edim writing a shtar based on what a Shchivra says, Beis Din Basar Edim Daiki. Beis Din is still going to be Medaik following what Edim said and see if the Edim actually knew the real story and if they actually were legitimate in writing this shtar for the Shchivra. Okay, but the Shem will pick up at the Mishnah tomorrow.